Today at St Matthew's we're beginning a new series for the early summer, which will just be interrupted by a couple of special Sundays, but otherwise continue through this part of the early summer. And in this series we're going to be looking at some unlikely heroes of the Bible, starting today with Moses. We're also going to look at Rahab, Paul, David, Sarah, Amos, Miriam, Ruth, Deborah. Favourite one for me, of course. And we hope that this series will be an encouragement for you, not only in learning about these ordinary people who, by God's grace, did extraordinary and unlikely things, but also an encouragement to just pick up a Bible and find out more about them. The way we really go deeper into God's Word and find more about His truth as revealed in Holy Scripture is to become as familiar as possible as we can with what's in this book. And so the more we just dig and dive and have a look around and see where they are in the Bible and what it says about them, God, by His grace, will lead us more deeply into that revelation. Our Bible reading that we've just had is from the New Testament, from the letter of the Hebrews. And, of course, Moses is an early Old Testament character. And the writer of the Hebrews, though, draws our attention to this unlikely hero because he's talking about the impact that Moses' faith in God had on him and his life. But, of course, the main story about Moses is in the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible. So again, my encouragement to you is to go and pick up your Bibles and have a look at the book of Exodus and read through the narrative story of the life of Moses. You will discover all the richness of that event. I'm just going to give a summary. Many of you will know this very well, and some of you may not know it at all. So I'm just going to give a little summary about Moses. So at the time of Moses' birth, I say the second book of the Bible, right back in Bible history, in the time of Moses' birth, the people of Israel were oppressed and in slavery under the pharaohs of Egypt, the kings of Egypt. But even while under oppression and as captives, God's people, these captive people, thrived and their numbers grew. And their Egyptian oppressors felt very threatened by this. So the king, the pharaoh, amongst other oppressive measures, horrifically ordered that all newborn Hebrew boys would be killed to try and keep their numbers down. And this is the context of the birth of Moses that we see in Exodus chapter 2. Moses was born to a captive Hebrew family. And to protect her baby, Moses' mother, referred to at the beginning of our reading in Hebrews, Moses' mother hid him for a few months. She hid him in the reeds by the river. She hid him rather at home initially for a few months, but then, when she couldn't do that any longer when he grew, she then continued to hide him, but in a basket amongst the reeds at the edge of the River Nile to see what would happen. It was only so long that she could hide a baby boy in her home without being discovered. And Moses' sister was given charge of watching over her brother in this basket in the reeds from a distance. And some of you will remember well the story that the daughter of Pharaoh the king came down to the river to bathe, discovered the child and felt sorry for him, and then decided to protect the baby Moses. And providentially, and I say that word deliberately, providentially, Moses' mother was able then to nurse her own son for Pharaoh's daughter. And then when Moses was old enough, Pharaoh's daughter took Moses into the palace, adopting him as her son. And so Moses was someone who was then brought up with all the privileges and riches of a palace life. That is what he was given. That is what he was gifted by this extraordinary event. But Moses always knew that he was a Hebrew. And Moses was protective of that heritage. And one day he saw Hebrew slaves being beaten, and in his anger, he beat and killed that Egyptian. Moses was incredibly zealous and passionate for the Lord, but also at that time of his life, he was also very immature. God didn't, of course, call Moses to murder an Egyptian. And of course, because he did that, he sinned. He sinned grievously against God. And this event became known, so Moses had to flee, and he ended up for many years making a life elsewhere. But God had plans for Moses, and those plans were to help him to liberate his oppressed and chosen people. And again, this famous story of the Bible we now come to, in that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And in that revelation, in that appearance, God called Moses to his task. Moses was someone who didn't speak very well and very confidently. Some scholars believe that perhaps he stuttered. And when God called Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt, God permitted his brother Aaron to speak for him. And so together, Moses and Aaron, together as that duo, God used them to then lead his people out of slavery. Moses went back to Egypt. He demanded in God's name that his people be freed. And when Pharaoh the king resisted, God sent various plagues and disasters to persuade him of God's power and intent. All again in Exodus. Do read it. It is a gripping narrative. And one of these events was the origin of the Passover meal that we celebrated in Holy Week just before Easter, where God's angel passed over the houses of the Hebrews, saving their children, but punished the children of the people of Israel. Hence the name passing over. And finally, after the opening of the sea for God's people to cross safely, they were free, and they began their long journey over many, many, many years to God's promised land. Despite Moses' imperfect past and his personal weaknesses, God used Moses for one of the most amazing deliverance stories recorded in the history of the world. Sadly for Moses, he never actually got himself to see the promised land. Some of his human faults got in the way of this happening. But this flawed man, the weaknesses and failings that you and I possess, was an unlikely hero of the Christian faith. And as a consequence, as a result of that, did extraordinary, amazing things for God over many, many years. Moses went through the most incredible journey. In this reading from Hebrews, chapter 11, verse starting at verse 23, at the beginning I'm just going to pay particular attention to verse 29 at the end, where it says, "By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." I wonder, do you try to live a holy life but find it a struggle? I'm not asking you to put up your hands, but I think probably that's all of us. Maybe I'll put up my hand and represent you all. Have you tried to live a holy life and sometimes felt as if you were drowning? The point of Hebrews chapter 11 and the references to Moses here is that by this short word, faith, we discover when we take those steps then in spite of all the fallenness and brokenness and struggles and confusions that we have. Things beyond our understanding are possible. Therefore, it is only by faith that we can ever live a holy life. Or putting it another way, you and I need the same faith as Moses had in order to be able to live a holy life, a life being as close to a holy God as we can be. Again, forgive me, I probably would have mentioned this ad nauseam over the years, but when thinking about faith, it's that thing which is unseen, isn't it? And trying to apply it to our daily lives. I guess I think about the person or the people closest to me, whether it's a relative or a friend, that I have faith in. Do you know, when I started out on those journeys, like a marriage, we didn't know everything about each other. But we took a step of faith in saying that we are going to trust each other and love each other without knowing everything that is there. And that is what faith is, isn't it? It's believing, isn't it, that as you stand and you know that someone is behind you, you can't see them. If you fall backwards, even though you can't see them, they will catch you. That is faith. But of course, with God, it is so, so much more than those simple illustrations. We can't try to pass through this world in our own strength. And if we try to do so in our own strength, we'll drown. And you know, friends, vicars are not immune from this. Just because we are ordained into holy ministry, it does not mean that we don't feel that sometimes we are drowning because we are trying too hard in our own strength and forgetting the faithfulness of God. In verse 23, at the beginning of this reading, Moses is still a child. And this reference is really important because it's a reminder to us that as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, adult friends, whoever we are in our world and in the circles in which we live, you and I all have a responsibility to lead and guide young people, children, in the ways of faith. So the writer of Hebrews reminds us of that. Then in verses 24 to 29 of our reading, Moses is grown up. And the writer to the Hebrews is referring to this grown-up part of his life. And when we are grown up, God holds us responsible for our decisions and our actions. We are able to be more informed and take responsibility for those and for our own growth in holiness. And these verses in Hebrews then take us through the faith journey of Moses as he followed God's call to liberate his holy people from oppression and slavery. And again, we are talking about faith in relationship to holiness. The very first thing that Moses does by faith when he grows up is to refuse to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses couldn't continue to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter and also be who God wanted him to be. By faith, there are some things in life that we need to refuse to be known by or as before we can be serious about seeking a journey towards holiness. It could be something that others know about us. It could be something that we know about ourselves. It could be something that is known about the area in which we live, the ways in which we serve. If there is anything that will potentially handicap us in our pursuit of holiness, drawing closer to God and his ways, we should do our best to try and refuse to be known and identified by that. A good thing in the eyes of the world can also be a bad thing when it comes to the pursuit of holiness with God. Do we want to be known as someone who tries to faithfully pray, to read the Bible, to show as best we can the fruits of the Spirit? Or is it by something else that we are known for? I'm deeply challenged by this. Certainly in the eyes of the world, Moses had it made. But Moses realized that being the son of Pharaoh's daughter offered far too many temptations in his pursuit of a holy life. So, what, according to the writer of the Hebrews, helped Moses turn his back on the riches of Egypt? Well, a couple of things stand out in these verses from Hebrews chapter 11. Firstly, and forgive me when I say this, this will sound strange to you, but hopefully I will unpack it a little bit for you. Firstly, according to the writer of Hebrews, Moses saw Jesus Christ. Of course, Moses' understanding of what we would call the messianic hope, the hope of a saviour, a messiah to come and save God's people. Moses' understanding of this messianic hope revealed to us in the Old Testament, and ultimately, of course, in Jesus, would have been extremely limited. But Moses chose, through faith, to be associated with the people through whom that hope would ultimately be realized. Realized in, of course, Jesus. Look at verses 26 to 28 of Hebrews 11. He, Moses, said the writer of Hebrews, regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the hope of a saviour through God's people, for the sake of Christ, as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. He saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover. Time and time and time again, as the Jewish people do today, he remembered the grace of God and the salvation of God for his people in the Passover. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Moses saw the hope of the Messiah, God the Saviour, Saviour of his people, the hope that we know of as the hope of Christ, in the Passover and in the sprinkling of blood. Otherwise, it would just have been a one-off event and they wouldn't have done it anymore. They wouldn't have gone on with it. What would have been the point? But to keep on going in that celebration of the Passover and that faithful belief, year after year after year, after years in the wilderness and the struggles of dispute and disagreement and everything else that came with it, there must have been a bedrock of faith and hope to come. This helped him to persevere in his pursuit of holiness. And God's promised hope of ultimate freedom, of ultimate liberation, and the perfect freedom that we know from surrendering our lives to Jesus, to God, was of far more value to Moses than anything that Pharaoh and the riches of his palace had to offer. And this was remarkable faith from an ordinary, struggling, flawed person. Secondly, Moses trusted in God for his ultimate reward, the crown of glory. Look at verse 26, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Again, that extraordinary faith and hope in the promise of deliverance and freedom that comes with knowing God. And this is what keeps the Christian person going. This again is all about having faith in a faithful and holy God for what lies ahead, even if we cannot see what it is and struggle to understand it. If we are to pursue holiness, we too need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and also keep our eyes on the reward, the crown of glory, by faith. I don't know where you are in your faith journey today, now. I'm sure there's a multitude of different thoughts and feelings. But I want to say, remind myself and remind you today that God is good. His purposes are good, holy, true, and beautiful. And faithfulness, through all the confusions and storms of life, will ultimately result in being with God in glory, the crown of hope. Moses was an unlikely hero of faith. He was raised in immense privilege. He lacked confidence as a leader and a communicator. Led by God into the longest and hardest and often incredibly disputative journey. But faith, rather than like the Egyptians' own efforts of trying to do so, by faith, Moses achieved great and remarkable things. And it is by faith that you and I can see the hand of God. Amen.